We have the privilege of my wife and I of staying in, I call it The Room, a very, very wonderful place down with Scott. And Blake and Serena are in the next room, and they have not been behaving. I just appreciate a little help on that line. What do I say? Happy Mother's Day. I am uniquely equipped for Mother's Day because my mother, I'm not so sure to this day whether she was human or angel, but she's with the Lord either way at the moment. At least that would be my, I mean, I know that if she's human, she's with the Lord. Of angels, she's probably tripping around somewhere. But anyway, marvelous, marvelous. And cannot, if I were at home in our little church at Mother's Day, I'd be saying all kinds of other things about that, but I'm not, and I'm very, very happy to be here. My dear wife is in the room with tummy problems, so hopefully those will subside by next service, but anyway, that's where she is at. My wife goes into the prison every week on Saturdays and moms these guys to death. We've got a level 4 state prison, level 5 being the state version of Supermax, and level 4 is just under. We're the stopping point. If they don't behave with us, they're gone. And although sometimes we get them back, one of our dearest disciples that Jonathan works with all the time is Otis, and he spent 17 years in solitary confinement. And came out, and Lyman is a dumping place. They're emptying out the solitary confinement because they say it's bad place to be. So they're emptying out and giving them to us, but that's great. We love that because prison has been set as a place where the Lord wants a lot of people discipled, so he gathers them all together in one place and then sends folks like you and us out to minister to them. Two scriptures that I talked to Scott and Ron about and Jonathan, and the first one in Matthew chapter 25, very, very familiar to you. I won't read the whole thing, but get these trifocals in focus here. Anybody know what I mean? anyway, Jesus said, we're at the end of time here, depending on your particular dispensational view, but either way, it's definitely going to happen. And it says in verse 33, he shall set the sheep on the right hand, I'm in Matthew 25, and the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come you, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And this is this astounding thing that brings it home. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. This is the Lord Jesus talking to these sheep. And I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. And finally, I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then the righteous, they're just kind of dumbfounded because like us and like you especially, you just go and do what you do. Have you noticed there's so many ministries represented in this church? Very unique church here. You know, when you're in your own place and people walk in and say, whoa, what are you doing? You're here and you're there and you're everywhere. Well, for you, it's normal, right? That's what you do. And keep in mind, some people have wondered, well, is Jesus saying, do I have to feed the hungry to go to heaven? Not really, but if you know the Lord, you want to feed the hungry, right? I mean, it's a response to relationship. It's not a cause of relationship, right? I'm sure you're taught that over and over and over again, which is great. Anyway, I was in prison. You came unto me, the righteous. They're kind of looking around saying, we don't remember doing that at all. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry and fed thee, or thirsty and gave you drink? And when we saw you as a stranger and took you in, naked and clothed you, and so on, or when saw we you sick or in prison and came to you, then, and this is just the most, one of the most precious verses, it's got to be in all the Bible, and the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. So you know, have you ever noticed that if you wanted to find Jesus right now, if he were on earth physically, which he's not, my understanding, he's at the right hand of the Father, but if he were, and you were looking for him, where would you go? Huh? Exactly. You'd find him either with the poor, in some rescue mission, or in the prison, or in somewhere like that. You really would have to go there to find him. I just got word that Lyman might be locked down right now. They've had usual gang activity. Lyman's a level 4 prison, I've said, of about just under 1,000 guys. Jonathan, you're missionary to the prison. And, of course, you helped me be there, for which I thank you on behalf of all of us. But it is a place where God has chosen to do some wonderful things. A lot of those wonderful things are directly connected to you, and coming from there, I want you to know about them. Jonathan's doing very well. For those of you, does everybody here pretty well know who Jonathan is? Jonathan is a young man, about 29 or 30, and used to stand up here and do worship right up here, doing it in prison now. But Jonathan got himself a sentence of life without parole by murdering a young man, all dealing with drugs and stuff, which almost everybody in prison, it's all just about everybody, it's connected to that. And but Jonathan did not have to have life without parole, as most of you probably know. Jonathan's lawyers offered him a plea bargain that would have gotten him, I have no idea, but maybe like 40 or 50 years, which in our prison is pretty short. Because over half of our guys will never get out. They're lifers, we call them, and they know it. And Jonathan is one of those. Now, Jonathan, in court, or with his lawyers, they were fixing up a plea bargain. They were going to work it all around that would drag people in and drag people's names through the mud. And but Jonathan would have gotten maybe, as I say, 20, 30, 40 years, but not life without parole. And Jonathan, who had come to know the Lord, walked in and announced to his lawyers, "No, I'm not. I'm going to plead completely guilty." And they say, "You're going to get life without parole." And they told him, "Jonathan, you're crazy." And Jonathan says, "I know the Lord, and I'm not going to lie in order to get myself out of life without parole." And he did not lie, and he did tell the truth, and he did get life without parole, and that's where he is, about 29 years old. In my perspective, some people might agree and might not, but you know, the Apostle Paul, with all the horrible, horrible things he did to believers before he got saved, he said that God had separated him from his mother's womb. In other words, God was in control of the whole show, as we pretty well know, don't we? Tends to control things. But from beginning to end, Jonathan is right where God wants him to be, and by the grace of God, Jonathan is doing what God wants him to be. And I tell people everywhere I go, the Lyman prison is a spiritual paradise. They look at me like I'm crazy, which I very well may be. But anywhere I go, I say, in whether it's our church, a little church out on the plains east of Colorado Springs, somewhere else, I say, Lyman is a spiritual paradise. You walk in there, and with many of the staff, but particularly with the prisoners, these guys are so focused on the Lord Jesus Christ and his will for their life. And, of course, there's reasons for that, because how many distractions are there in prison, right? And we live in a life of distractions, don't we? I mean, mean, some of you might be texting right now. Let me look around. You know, or, oh, really? And, okay, Scott, you just got ratted out. Okay, so anyhow, that is, but in there, now they have distractions. I mean, they have everything, drugs flow freely in these prisons. How they get them in, we kind of know. But they have their TVs. Guys like Jonathan, because of you, they got their iPads in now, you know, and they can put stuff on them. We're quite excited about that because we're exploring ways to get their study stuff onto these iPads. That's brand new. But it just happened that these guys can buy these. They're helping John. So anyhow, they have distractions, but it's also a very dangerous place. It's the worst of the worst. Gather them up, dump them in Lyman. It's considered. I've been out there for over 20 years now. August, 21 years, and I love that place. Because I love these guys, and you love these. I mean, just fiercely. That's a God thing. Where else would it come from? My wife loves them to death, and we just had our Easter. We just had our Easter celebration. Oh my soul! She goes and we took Dunkin' Donuts, which is pretty legal. Sir, are you raising your hand? Oh, okay. I'm sorry. If you want to go ahead. Say, what did you really say there? That's okay. We can deal with that. But anyhow, we Dunkin' Donuts and fruit, and the only law is they have to be factory sealed. Well, I went to Dunkin' Donuts and got all those donuts, and I said, you have any seals? They gave me a row of seals, and I sat down and sealed them. So they were factory sealed. But, and I was the fan. But anyway, it's we get away with illegal, but it's whatever. Anyway, she spoils them. I say, no, we're just going to go and get these old ones. And no, we're not. And they do appreciate that. So just a couple of weeks ago, they had Dunkin' Donuts and coffee and fruit and candy. They got their Easter baskets, really. Okay, just so you will know, they're being taken care of. But anyway, it is a very, very dangerous place. But our guys, when they choose to shine for Christ, they are marked men. But God protects them, and their effect. I call Lyman. I don't know if it covers an acre, but obviously there's the fences, several fences, electrified and all of that good stuff. And then inside that fence, they have a round wall with odds to a unit. We have just under 1,000 guys living. Every single move they make, somebody. Some have single cells, many have double cells. Most of the guys that you work with, I have singles, which is a high privilege. I couldn't imagine living in an 8x12 box with another. I can't. I go there and I visit them and I sit in their cell with them. I can't. But they do. And because of the intensity, because of the pressure, the Lord Jesus Christ fills the areas in their life, and they spread that. Now, that being said. I know that Scott was going to mention 2 Corinthians 3:18, one of my favorite verses, and I just want to say a few things of what I believe that we can expect to see. You probably know this verse. The Apostle Paul he's celebrating the. He's celebrating the effect of the gospel in transforming people into the image of Christ, right? Which is the greatest miracle of all time. out at Lyman, I asked one of our main guys, I said, how long, you know, you've heard of jailhouse religion, right? Guy gets saved, runs around, I know the Lord. So how long do you watch these guys before you really consider them for real? He says, about 5 years. We watch them for about 5 years. And if they're standing firm and in the Word and being used of God after 5 years, then we might just think that they're for real. 5 years. I thought, oh, wow. I have to watch myself for 5 minutes, you know what I mean? But anyway, what's going on out there after Paul is celebrating the miracle of the gospel and transforming people, and keep in mind, and you have these relationships too, people really, really do know where you're at, don't they? They really know what you're about. I mean, you can talk this and you can talk that and say this and say that and everything, but they really, really know. And you are impacting people. It's not that you should. You are impacting people 24/7, but the question would be impacting them for what? But here's I'm going to give you a little idea of our vision for Lyman, and then there's all kinds of neat stories. Some of the stories, or many of the stories, have to do with you, dear folks. There's a crew coming out when? The end of the week? Is that right? How many of you? Oh, I know you're going to say something at the end of the service, and it's just downright strange. You know, it doesn't make sense for a perfectly free individual to walk into a state prison and care about these guys, but this church, represented by, I'll call it the group, you know, this church is just a miracle. It's a miracle of God. The staff watch you come in. They watch you go out. They watch you visit. Well, they're watching you anyway, of course. I mean, they're watching for other reasons, and they're just kind of like, what is with these people? But God lays it on their heart, and what's with these people is God has laid upon their heart to love and to minister to and to nurture relationships that make no sense humanly. What makes sense humanly is to get attention to ourselves, right? And this is attention 100% to the Lord Jesus Christ. It really is. It's a miraculous thing. Makes no sense. Humanly. Makes no sense. Why would people go all the way over there, go through all of this legal stuff, all this paperwork, and all of these requests for this and that? I mean, please don't ever underestimate the effect. What do you think these guys talk about after your visit? Who do you think they talk to? The whole prison and all the staff. And everybody else. And what do you think these people think about what you do? That's crazy. What on earth possesses them? But here's what happens. They realize you're possessed by Jesus Christ himself. Huge. Huge stuff. Don't ever. Even those of us that live in the area, I live 55 miles away, which is a nice drive. Nothing there except for us. And the prison, mostly. And it's a pleasant place to drive and go. And one of the things is, this makes no sense. Why do you care? Why do you care? In fact, I was driving along one time. The roads were slippery, and I said to myself, Lord, remind me why I do this. And he says, because you're visiting me. I said, oh. I can do that. It really did. I mean, sometimes, once in a while, you need a little reality check, right? And you're visiting me. Oh, okay. So there it was, solved in an instant. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, the Apostle Paul, after all kinds of neat stuff about the difference between the Old and the New Testament, the structure and everything, he says this, but we all with open face, the veils and the restrictions of the Old Testament, beholding witness in a glass or a mirror, which I think to be the Word of God. That's what I think. That's my opinion of that word. The glory of the Lord. We're staring into the Word. Absorbing the glory of the Lord, are changed, get this, I love this verse, are changed into the same image, conformed to the image of Christ. Just previously, at the end of chapter 2, I believe, he actually said, we who are being changed in the image of Christ smell like Christ. We actually, there's a if you will, a spiritual aroma, and as we walk around and the way we impact people and people respond to our demeanor, we smell like Jesus Christ. But here's how it works, though. We don't necessarily smell like Jesus Christ. We don't necessarily give off the aroma of Christ, right? You know how that works. Are changed into the same image from glory. He looked upon as a lot of your level of glory or growth or bringing glory to God. From glory to glory, one level to another, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And so here we are. We are. Here we are is that the Word stared into. The Spirit of God takes over and conforms us to what we're looking at. Now, the reason I brought that out is because I am absolutely crazy, that we could stop there and be fairly accurate, but about what I see God doing at Lyman. For example, on a daily basis, this place is a beehive of spiritual activity. I spend about 36 hours a week inside the walls. We have a little country church way out in the middle of nowhere, which we love and minister to, and I have co-pastors there that I minister with. The church supports us, and so we started a new service once a month, Sunday evening. A whole bunch from the church, we all go out together and hold a service. But we don't hold a service. The guys hold a service. It's completely them. They do the music and they do the preaching and they do everything. And we just go and watch. Jonathan has sung. We just had the first one, and Jonathan sung one of these songs, you know. And he's maintaining that ministry. But on a daily basis, I would like you to pray with me that, first of all, I would stay on track, because God, I see the state prison in Colorado, at least starting with Lyman, and I say starting because this is a big deal to me, as a state-financed Bible school. Okay? You know, let them pay the bills. They're feeding the guys. They're keeping them where we want them. They're not getting away. Nobody gets away from Lyman. That place is something else, let me tell you. And at least they never have. And I don't think they ever will, the way that place is run. But anyway, in the Lord, you know, these guys are so free. We have so much fun, to use the term, if you wanted to call it that. But again, state-run Bible school, think about it. Think about it. God brings his students together and says, guess where you're going to live? Now, I'll give you clothes. They're about this color. And I'll feed you. But guess what we're really here for? We're really not here because you messed up and you're incarcerated, although they did and they are. We're really not here because you're a flub-up, because they absolutely are not that, unless you want to call them God's flub-ups, right? That's okay. That's the rest of us. You know. But you're here because I called you to a specific place for, in a specific time, for a specific purpose, and that is to take your part in evangelizing the world. Take a look at this little guy up there. Jesus came and to them and said, all authority is given unto me on earth, has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Now, the authority could be interpreted, the word could be applied as the freedom and right to do anything he wants, right? Authority. If someone's in authority, they simply say, this is where you're going to sit. Well, why am I have to sit there? Because I'm in authority and I said so. When one's in authority, they can do anything they want. What Jesus is saying, whether it's heaven and earth, and that takes in everything as far as I know, I can do anything I want. God can create 50 more worlds just like this. He could populate them all and save everybody in it, right? If he wanted to. There is no limit to what the Lord Jesus Christ can do if he wants. Well, what's he want to do? Well, kind of gives a little bit there. He wants us to make disciples. Disciples could be interpreted as disciplined learners. That's what they do. Just like when a doctor or a person enters medical school, or engineers enter engineering school, or musicians enter music school, whatever they do, that's what they do. When mothers enter motherhood, that's what they do, because they are so uniquely blessed, whether they have actually biological children or not. Mothers are the God's gift to humanity, right? And what a wonderful thought. But anyway, I know I'm straying. It is Mother's Day, though. But make disciples, discipline learners. That's what they do. That's what they are. What are you? I'm a disciple of Christ. Well, what do you do? I learn the word. The Spirit conforms me to the image of Christ. And then what do I do? Well, it says baptizing them. You can almost look upon that as putting on a uniform of recognition. For me to live as Christ and to die as gain. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, we've got sound doctrine. We're not aberrant in our doctrine. And then teaching them, okay, what have you done? You've made the disciples. You've grounded them into who and what they are in Christ, right? They know what it is to grow in Christ. And then what do you teach them? Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. In other words, you teach them to go and make disciples. I saw on a website somewhere, they called it DMDs, Disciple Making Disciples. I think there's a website called that, DMDs, Disciple Making Disciples. Well, how does it work? I mean, really, honestly, we're sitting here on this magnificent island, and there's the map there, and we're just off to the edge of the United States there, and look at the rest of the world. Now, to God, how much of a challenge is the rest of the world? No big deal, would you say? I mean, God could go boom. In the twinkling of an eye, he could save every human being in every area in the world. Could he? Couldn't he? Do you think he could do that? Yeah. Well, why doesn't he? Well, you're going to be surprised at this. I don't know. But what I do know, what I do know is that he has a plan. Now, think to yourselves with me, if you will, how did that plan work originally? Well, it's kind of like your faith. What did he tell the Romans? Your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world, right? In other words, they evangelized the whole world of their time. How on earth did they do that? How did it work? Well, you've got it right there. They became true disciples, intense students of the word. The result was they were conformed to the image of Christ. They got their doctrinal grounding, as John in 1 John chapter 2 talked about the young men. I write unto you, young men, because you are strong. The word of God abides in you. You've overcome the wicked one. And then they turned into reproducers, right? They got a hold after they were grounded by somebody discipling or mentoring them. Then they got a hold of one did the same thing, and then when they were grounded and moving along, they got a hold of one. It multiplied throughout the world of that time, and the world was evangelized. But we can't do that. You know why? I'm being facetious. Well, we're probably too busy on our Facebook or something. Sorry. I'll behave. No, I won't, but I will try to behave. Really, though, because we are very, very distracted. There it is, really. Now, back to my deal. As we speak, let's see, what is it? It's 10:30 in Colorado right now. Ooh, and I got about 3 minutes. Good I look there, Jonathan. I better say this quick. They are out there, I don't know what they're doing. I've got word that they were a bit locked down at the point, some gang activity, which there's a lot. Are you guys usually aren't? Using you, you're so much a part. Those of you that are involved in that, guys are being discipled. They're discipling others who are discipling others. This is going on throughout the Lyman State Prison as we speak. But then there's more. There's guys getting out and going out. We have two guys now. One has a major ministry in Denver, and one has a major ministry in the Springs. Two, guess what? Released prisoners. Because they went through this process. They weren't flash in the pan. I know the Lord, let me run. Yeah. But they were grounded. And now, not only that, they're going to other prisons. Happening in other prisons. They're going to the chaplains and saying, can we get this started here? Can we get this started here? We have about 20 prisons in Colorado, state prisons, lots of them. Lots of them. And Lyman's all out by itself. There's about a town called Canyon City. There's about a dozen altogether. But anyway, the vision is this. How about we exploit the state-run Bible school idea, state-financed Bible school? How about we trust God to do just what you're doing? And we have plans for that, by the way. I don't have time to bring all that out, but I will bring out maybe next, we have another service. Maybe we'll save that for then. Got 1 minute. But to see this sound disciple-making process where people are genuinely conformed to the image of Christ, okay? It's going like nuts in Lyman. It's now spreading to the other prisons. And my vision, which I'd like to think is of the Lord, is that every prison becomes a beehive of disciple-making disciples, and then it goes out, by the way, it goes out phenomenally to the community already. They're winning their families to Christ. But then, from Colorado to other states, what about the world? Is that too big for God? Not at all. Not at all. Let's pray. Lord, we are, I am so privileged to be in this group that so represents the mind of Christ, so represents Christ. I know it's not just the prison ministry, but that's the one I know about, and they are magnificent trophies of the gospel of Christ. May they be encouraged. May they be recognized for the grace that you have poured into their lives in doing this, because the effect is worldwide. Thank you for that. Thank you for them. Thank you for this church and these folks. May your name be glorified, and may we see great and mighty things for your glory in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Jerry, so much.
You're welcome.
I'm going to have him come back up in just a minute, but before that, I want to give you guys an opportunity, as we are very involved in this process. And to do that, I wanted to have Gail come up and share a letter with you. So one of the biggest ways we've gotten involved in this is through card writing and letter writing. And so, Gail, if you would come up, and what happens is as you write a card or a letter, they write back sometimes. And then you begin to see this process play out. And so, in short, this is a, I'm going to let her then read the specifics. In short, sometimes when we send Bibles or send things, people don't always just jump right into this discipleship process. It's growing. And so this kind of explains some of that process in this person's life. So,
well, this is a tribute to the work that Chaplain Briggs has done and is doing, along with Jonathan and so many others in this ministry. This is a letter from one of the inmates at Lyman. And I asked him for his permission to share this with you. His name is Wayne. Gail, I've been in prison now for over 4 years. When I first came in, a good man named John told me that if I needed a Bible, that the Avalon Community Church would provide me with one. I was hesitant at first. I've always believed in Christ, and I always will. But at the time, I didn't know the Word of God. I struggled with my guilt, and I used my guilt as an excuse not to get to know my Savior and build a relationship with Him. After all, I knew I wasn't worthy. Still, John wrote the church and acquired a Bible on my behalf. To be truthful, that Bible collected dust for a few years. I remained stubborn and had gone through some pretty rough times. I lost family, I went through a divorce, and even health problems. I don't know if this has all been part of God's plan to get my attention, but I know that over these last 4 years, I've received a card every holiday from your church. While I was unfaithful, you remained faithful and persistent, and that caught my attention. I just received another card from your church this February. I couldn't help but think, boy, these people just don't give up. Then I began to try to think why. I couldn't come up with any good answer. The only conclusion I could come up with is that you are people that are filled with love. Love for God first, and then for your brothers. I admire that, and I want the same thing for myself. I wanted to write and let you all know that your cards and efforts haven't gone unnoticed, and that they have served their purpose. My Bible is collecting less dust. I can't say that I'm cured, that I'm a great Christian now, but I can say that your efforts have caused me to put forth more effort, and that I truly appreciate all that you have done. I thought that it was important that I write you and let you know that the impact you've all had on me. Today, I'm still but a babe in Christ, but you all have helped to give me hope and motivation to be much more.
And why don't you stay up here? What I'd like to do is we're going to close in some prayer. We have five of us, Scott, myself, Gina, Tammy, and Gail are going on Friday out to Colorado for 2 days, and we're going to go visit some inmates and spend 2 days sitting across the table with them and encouraging them. And I will say what is amazing, even beyond, I mean, I knew Jonathan growing up for years and years. So for me to go see an old friend is something. But for these ladies and others in this church who are now writing and visiting someone they never knew, okay, before that day, it's miraculous. You talk about the impact, so you're seeing it. So you have opportunity also. And I also want to call up Gianni, Vicky. Is Mary Jane here? I don't see Mary Jane. Carol Ann. I know Joe writes with Tammy also. But all these are other ladies that write and do card greetings. And I want to pray over you as well. And then Jerry. So if all those people could come up. And we're just going to stand up here, and I just want to close our time in prayer over all of you. And with that, as they're coming up, if you want to get involved, we have more and more names that come to us all the time. And basically what the process looks like, and any of these people here can tell you specifics, and so that's why I want you to see them. But basically what it is we just write at Easter, Christmas, those holidays, Thanksgiving, you know, thinking of you from Avalon Community Church, and maybe share a verse, like if God gives you a verse, and we send it. And that's pretty much what it is. And then when they write back, if they want to converse, then we go more into that. And then every once in a while, as they write these letters back, then these people here have been gracious to then go deeper with those cards and those letters, and that's where impact starts happening. So it's really easy. We can help you. We can give you names. We give you the address. You can use the church address, so the letters come here, and then we give them to you. And so the process is easy, and yes, we need more, more writers. And so I put that invitation out to you. Talk to me or any of these ladies here, and they can get you connected into that. So let me pray for all of you, and thank you again for your hearts. And Jesus, I just thank you for each person standing here and how, we're seeing impact there in Lyman, but I am seeing impact in my life personally and these lives right here. And they would all share that same. It's a mutual growing in you. These prisoners are blown away at the love and the grace and the mercy that says you matter. And then they're sharing like this life change in them, and then that encourages us because we're like, wow. Look at God work, and so our faith grows. It's such a pure, pure ministry. I thank you for the planting of seeds by Jerry and Marilyn, and who go in many, many, many hours, and they build into this discipleship process. I do pray that you powerfully, powerfully speak through him, giving him discernment of your word and how to deliver it clearly to these men. And I do pray for open hearts and more men in this prison. And Jerry, I know we'll share more stories next service, but there's opportunities more and more for him to go in and talk to guys he'd never had an opportunity to talk to before. And these studies are growing. And I thank you for his faithfulness. Keep growing us as a body here in the way we give financially and the way we give through our care through these cards and letters. And we keep offering that when we can. And Lord, the impact is all glory to you. So we glorify your name for who you save and how you save so powerfully by your Spirit. We give you all that glory now in Jesus' name. Amen.